This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My heart, but it'll be okay on the other side of heart. I can't park my car and I can't play my guitar, but it'll be okay on the other side of heart.
Side of heart. Absolutely epic goat. That's Gareth O'Connor. Dude DM'd me on Instagram. He said, "Not sure if you read DMs, but I wrote a sincere pop punk version of The Other Side of Hard, sent it into the show, but I thought I would message you as I think you'll dig it specifically." And he was correct. Absolutely correct.
He back channeled. We would have gotten to it. And now I regret ever playing it.
Well, me and Gareth are starting a band.
There's no way.
I started writing a pop punk song when that dude Dustin wrote in, and it's about halfway done. I think we're going to go hard pivot to Gareth now.
It's Gareth. You're not even saying Gareth. His name right.
Yes, I am. Gareth. Me and Gareth. I'll send you the lyrics. That pop punk song had it all. It had it all. It had the riff,
yeah.
You know that, like, that last epic palm mute riff, incredible. It had kind of that, like, the computerized under singing towards the end. Uh-huh. I can't find my guitar, you know.
yeah.
It was great, and I think is he from Dublin? Is that right?
Yes, he is from Dublin, an Irish submission.
Yeah, so you can kind of hear it when he says heart.
Yeah,
which is really great. Tugged at my heartstrings, indeed.
Is pop punk specifically an American thing? Like, are there any British pop punk bands? Like, kind of like how we took some music from Europe. Did they ever take that? Is there like an Irish pop punk band?
I mean, there must be. I'm sure.
Was Flogging Molly from Dublin, or did they just play Irish music, but they were from Boston or some shit?
Mm. Yeah, it could definitely be either one.
Yeah.
I'm going down to Boston.
Yeah.
It's for sure either Ireland or Boston.
Simple Plan
was a Canadian pop punk band. So was Sum 41, actually.
Count. Oh, really? They were Canadian?
Yeah. Yep. Bunch of Canucks.
Well, if like, you know, rock and roll was like rebelling against the mainstream, the government, the war. Mm-hmm. What are pop punk's ethos like?
Rebelling against mom and dad.
It's rebelling just against mom and dad. It's just
it's school, it's bullies, it's the jocks, it's the preppies. Mom and dad, they quite don't understand it.
So we went from being like, we will not fight this unnecessary war in Vietnam to like, mom will make me do my dishes.
Exactly. Or like, you're a hot senior guy and you're dating my crush and you play football and wear a collared shirt, so you're bad. That's how fun the
90s were, that the biggest issues, the one that created full music genres, were people just mad at their parents. Everything else was fine. It was just they didn't want to do homework that decade.
Yeah. Homework was bad. Parents not cool. Parents fighting, even worse. Parents ganging up on you when they actually don't even like each other. That's the ultimate sin, brother.
Yeah, parents are always kind of the nerds in music. There's no like songs about cool parents.
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, that's a good note for my song that I'm writing. Maybe I'll. What?
Yours should be for the pop punk parents, so like the kids who were like the teenagers. Well, we in already. The 90s,
I'm halfway done with the original idea, which was the we're seniors now. We're seniors in high school because like the senior guy is a freshman, you know, in college. So his status changed. So that's the vibe.
We discussed that before, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So song two is about how mom and dad ain't so bad. Because they are actually trying pretty hard. It's the music that's sort of creating the chaos and making things not right.
That's not bad. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll
Mom
I'll
and Dad, we ain't so bad. We think we're pretty neat.
Kind of. I feel like you could start a different band. Me and Gareth might take that song in another direction. But your idea is... noted, considered, ultimately duly? Rejected and denied, duly considered though, duly considered. It is under advisement, it is under consideration, and now it is out of advisement and out of consideration, shit canned and forgotten.
I think the high school senior thing was my idea.
I don't remember it being exactly your idea, but
I was definitely a co-writer slash
a broken clock. A broken clock is actually still right, I think, a few times a day. At least once, maybe even twice, depending on what type of clock it is.
Right, if it's like army time or not.
Yeah, exactly. So it might only be once.
Although if it's broken in a way where it's like still working but set to the wrong time, it's actually never right.
Yeah, if it's off, you're fucked.
It has to be broken in a specific way. Even if it's blinking 12, that doesn't mean that it's noon.
It has to be completely right. It has to be completely stopped for it to be right.
Yeah. I guess it's more of a broken regular clock, not a digital clock. Mm-hmm. It has to be like a face. What are those called? Like the kind with like the little hand, the big hand. That's when a broken clock.
An hour.
Unless it's so fucking broken, it doesn't even, it only has the minute hand.
Right. What if it's so fucking broken that it has like just one spinning ass like second hand and the springs are falling out? Then that clock is right never in the day for sure.
Or like so many times because it's like, oh, it's right there. It's right there. It's right there. It's right there. It's actually right more often than a non-broken clock, because a non-broken clock is just right once if you think about it, because it's like set to the correct time.
Oh, we have to take a break.
Really?
No, not a real break, just from this conversation. No.
It's only been 4 minutes, but I'm down to thank a sponsor. All right, this is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the web, hosted by us. I'm Amir, after all.
I am Jake, after all.
And that was Gareth, whose pop punk version of The Other Side of Hard is sincere and unironic as he can make it.
Incredible.
It kind of reminded me of May 16th by Lagwagon, if you remember that one.
I don't think I do.
I'll send it to you. You can listen to it offline.
Yeah. All right. Would love that.
We had a question sent to us with a fun follow-up pup. Let me see if I can pull it up. It'll be okay on the other side of hard. All right. Here we go.
That was good. That was really good. Thank you, Gareth.
This lady actually sent in a follow-up pup so we can use her real name. It's Molly.
Oh, Flogging Molly.
That's right. Flogging Molly writes, "What's up? I'm a junior in high school. I'm so stressed out. After cross-country practice, I'm up till all hours doing homework. And now that I'm doing all this ACT prep stuff, I have absolutely no free time to just relax. I'm always tired and cranky, and I have no time to do anything I want anymore. Is there any way to stop the madness? Were you guys ever this stressed in high school? Is it even worth it? Thank you so much. I love the show. Seize the cheese. Love Molly."
And that came to us in like 2013, isn't that right?
That's right. So I found that by like searching like ACT prep or something like that, or maybe cross country. And I'm like, oh, this was sent to us almost a decade ago, literally 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I replied literally in 2022. This was sent in 2013. I replied to Molly and said, "Hey, do you remember writing this? How'd you turn out 9 years later? Hoping to God she, A, remembers who we are, B, is still alive, and C, like, maybe can shed some light on, like, even remembering that this was a thing for her, the stress in high school.
Incredible. What does she say?
Hi, guys. Wow, reading this email is an absolute blast from the fucking past. You opened a time capsule. Has your inbox been that flooded? How on earth did you dig this up? Sheesh. I remember writing you this email because you were the source of all the best goofy advice. Life was getting tough and I needed some goofballs to turn my stressors into side-splitting laughs, or at least toss out a few carpe diem sort of positivity. It was a tough time. The ironic thing is, 9 years later, I'm teaching in a Chicago public high school and coaching cross country.
Whoa.
So she's teaching at a high school that she was stressed about and coaching the sport that she was playing.
Wow.
I genuinely try to take my hardships as a high schooler and use them as a massive learning experience. No student of mine should ever have to be as stressed and distraught as I was. Thank you for being so bad at reading emails. This has been quite enlightening and oddly charming to read an email from past me. Reminds me how far I've come. Thank you both. Ashish, y'all, you made my day.
Wow.
How nice is that?
Incredible. That's the ideal response. That's what I would have hoped that she would have written.
Yeah. And it sort of, it just goes to show you that the stresses that you have, I think it probably even extends into college and adulthood, is stuff that feels so stressful and difficult now. Like, you barely remember 9 years later.
It's all relative. It's funny. I was very stressed out today, and I was thinking, oh no, it was yesterday. So I was really stressed out yesterday, and I was walking home, and I was walking by the old College Humor office, and I looked at it, and I was like, I don't think I was ever like doing that thing where you're so frantic, where you're like, oh, I have to leave, but I have to send this email, but I have to answer this text, but I have to do this thing, and this person's calling me, and I have to, you know, juggle nine different things as I'm trying to go home, and I just feel like frazzled and dazed almost. And that's what I was feeling yesterday. But
and then a guy jumped out of the window of that 17th floor and landed in front of you. Wow. Well, that really put everything in perspective, brother. Thank you.
But I also bet that I was. I think that, I don't know. You always do romanticize the old times, and you're like, oh, things were so easy then. But
yeah,
those rose-colored glasses, they ain't the truth.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I don't even know if I was ever stressed out at age 22 now that I'm trying to think about, like, what did I even have to worry about?
Yeah, I was definitely, I think I had stresses. I don't think any of them were work-related. I have work stresses.
My biggest work-related stress was that my first salary was $36,000, and I'm like, I have to ask for a raise. That's not enough money. I can't just make $36,000. It's $900 a paycheck, and New York City is too expensive. I'm going to ask for, like, $75,000. Just, like, go for it and ask for what you want. Like, me and Streeter were like, let's negotiate together. We're underpaid. This is ridiculous. And we, like, asked for this huge raise, and they were like, all right, we'll give you $40,000, a 4,000% raise. And we're both like, all right, we'll take it. Instantly gave up on our dream of making double the salary.
Man, I mean, that's incredible. I think my first salary was $24,000.
Yeah, not enough.
No, not enough. Not nearly.
Although, adjusting for inflation, I guess $36,000 is... It says it's $290,000 today, so it's pretty good.
Oh, it's pretty solid, yeah. Because you and Streeter lived in that, like, that 6-story brownstone together, right?
Yeah, and it was like $800 a month in rent. It was so cheap back then.
That's right.
We got
that's
to split it. We threw parties, and we made a profit on every party. but yeah, high school is stressful, I'm sure, because those are the biggest problems in the world to you right now. But ultimately, you'll be getting an email 9 years later and thinking, I guess it wasn't so bad. And fortunately, this lady is not only teaching at a high school, but she's actually coaching cross country, the two things that she was stressing out about. And she was able to impart that wisdom, hopefully every day, to her students.
Incredible.
Kind of makes me want to try to figure out a way to either be an algebra teacher or a driving school instructor.
How did you find her email?
I must have searched like one of the words, like almost Game Boy style, but just by myself, like tired and cranky. I'm like, oh, this has come up, because I searched like unread emails, and this that we just never opened it. Right. It's also kind of crazy that she has the same email address 9 years later. Like, if somebody replied to our email addresses of like jake@connectadventures.com, you would just never get it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Do you remember your email before your current email address or before that College Humor? Like, what was your email address in high school?
Oh, I think I had before, I think I had a Hotmail address. It was like Jake2013 maybe, at hotmail.com or something like that.
Yeah. I had an AOL email address that I would like use AOL to check.
That's crazy.
And then after that, you can use AOL.com to check. And then in college, they gave you like a college email, but like,
oh yeah,
that only works for 4 years.
Right. I think that's a bizarre system to me, I think.
It's like, I wonder if they still
get
have
used
that.
To using this email, like apply to internships with this email, like whatever. And then it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, in a year, this will be defunct. Change everything. All of your contacts that you've made for 4 years.
Or do they leave it open and we just stop using it? Like, was ablumenfeld@berkeley.edu, is that just like always there?
No, because they pay for it. So I doubt they just leave it open forever. And at the very least, Southern Connecticut closed mine. I remember getting the email.
Well, that's because you were dishonorably discharged from the school. So they wanted to make some more room for the band. If you graduate...
While I worked at College Humor, my login was like jhurwitz5591@southernct.edu or something like that.
Yeah, the EDU email addresses. I wonder if kids are still using that.
I guess if you ever want to seem young, just write to somebody with a .edu.
Did you have to sign up for classes on the phone, or was that before your time?
I don't know. I think it was done online, but we got little books with the classes.
Yeah, like the classes that you can choose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let us know the update. Are you choosing classes online, and do you get to keep the EDU? Like, if it's Harvard at harvard.edu, are you keeping that post-grad?
That's solid. That's, you want to keep that for sure.
Actually, Harvard should almost sell that access. Like, I don't even need to go to school there. I'll pay $10,000 a year just for the email, Addy.
Give me the Ivy League email. That's kind of goatly. That's an interesting little life hack. That's good unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
Just... even if you have to make your email address like jakehurwitzyale@gmail.com.
It's obvious that you're lying at that point. That's an open sheet.
@gyale.com.
I was going to say like buy Cornell with one L .edu, but I don't think you can even buy an EDU. Mm. You have to like be an actual university. I wonder how that works.
Oh, interesting.
All right. Let us know, I guess, if you work for a school or something. Otherwise, let's take a break, answer some more questions that were sent to us this decade after these messages. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's betterhelp.com/segments. Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we have returned. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson of the fight.
Yeah, you know, kinda. I just bought a new DOP kit today. People are traveling. People are exploring the world again. I was in Europe. I was in Ireland and the UK. I'm going to Italy next month.
Wow.
And I needed a new DOP kit. I didn't feel like the one I had was cutting it. And I feel like DOP kits are something that people get when they first start traveling and they don't necessarily upgrade them. They don't get a new one. For instance, how long have you had your toiletry bag?
Oh, 10 years. I mean, it's like a gift decades ago. Yeah. You're talking about a toiletry bag. It's like this fanny pack.
Exactly.
You stuff it with stuff.
Right.
And use it when you travel.
Your soaps, your deodorants, your toothbrush.
What was wrong with yours? Well, I'll tell you the problem with mine is that it's too small. It can't fit the electric stuff anymore.
Yeah, well, and I mentioned actually the travel water pick, which I got, and I've actually loved it. It's incredible. Yeah. It's very small. It's compact. It takes up enough space. I've also I was carrying you know the electric toothbrush. It comes with the big pill plastic thing.
Yeah, the charger. Not the charger.
It's like there's the cord, but then there's also just the travel case. It's just a big plastic case.
Okay.
And I was hardwired to just do that, to just put it in the travel case when you're traveling. Right. But
you don't need to.
It's kind of useless. You don't need it at all.
But mine is a charging thing. Are you bringing the charger? Then it's like, I'm taking the charger from home. Are you using a battery operated one?
I use a battery operated one, but that'll go for like 3 weeks.
So really?
I just make sure that it's charged before I leave.
Yeah.
And I'm carrying it in when I was overseas, I did loose, no case. And the DOP kit was fine. The size was okay, but I didn't like having to dig through it every time I needed something. And the new one that I got unzips and opens and it can lie flat.
I see.
So it's kind of nice.
It's almost like a nail file thing. What is that called?
Yeah.
Like a little manicuring
folder.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a folio, and it gives me access, and it gives me control.
Do you remember the time where you tried to travel without any bags because we were doing a show for one night?
That's correct, yes.
So you walked to the airport.
Interesting.
You had no bag on your person whatsoever, not even a backpack, right? You just held a toothbrush?
No bag. I had a toothbrush in my pocket, and that was it. I said, this is all I could possibly need. We're staying in a hotel. They have shampoo and soap. I'm wearing the clothes that I'll perform in. I'll wake up and I'll wear this home. It's not going to be that dirty. I have the toothbrush in my pocket. And
what did you do for in-flight entertainment?
I had my phone. I think we were flying from New York to Utah, Salt Lake City. And I believe we had in-flight, we had like the little TV in front of us. They handed out the earphones.
Yeah. So you were able to
imagine.
I do remember, like, at one point you were like, can you hold this for me? And I was like, just out of principle. It's like, no, you, this is what you decided to do. You have to have it all on your person. Do you remember what that was? I already forget.
There's a chance that it was like a Hudson News, like, bottle of water or something and like a peanuts. I don't know. Like snacks.
Like snacks.
They put in a bag.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, have absolutely nothing. The funniest thing was I remember it being a debate because I was like talking to people. It's like, I think I'm not going to bring anything. How cool would that be to just walk into the airport with nothing? And people are like, well, you're going to bring your phone charger. And I was like, I don't even want to put that. I don't
Maybe it was
bring
that. It. Maybe it was the phone charger or something.
Because I asked to use your phone charger when we were at the venue doing the show. I was like, can I charge my phone?
Like, oh, and you didn't bring a phone charger. You didn't bring anything. Yeah.
Yeah. You gave me a hard time, but you did let me use it.
Oh, that's nice.
And I remember like people being suspicious. Like when I was walking in, they're like, are you picking someone up? I was like, nope.
Yeah, it's just such a weird feeling to just get out of a car like you're meeting a friend for dinner. It's like, I'm walking into an airport. I don't even have a backpack. I'm walking through security. I'm not putting anything on the conveyor belt. Just give me the metal detector and I'll keep walking. And if you're TSA pre, you don't have to take your shoes off. You just walk through like a metal detector.
Yeah. God damn. That's my dream. I hope that I can travel like that someday. Just have all of my stuff waiting for me somewhere, you know?
Is that how rich people do it? I feel like you can at the very least have like a nice backpack or something like that.
Yeah, I think a light backpack would be necessary just because you'd have like your computer, your phone for the flight.
Yeah.
But what if you're so fucking sleek that you just have an iPad mini and it's a little tablet. That's a handheld thing. You can walk in. That's it. That's all you need.
What if you have a fanny pack that's a Dob kit? So you have the fanny pack, but it has your toiletries in it.
Interesting.
Phone charger, toothbrush, iPad mini.
Yeah. Really, you just need a backpack that has a fanny pack strap. So it seems like a fanny pack, but it's actually a full backpack.
Just get luggage at this point. You're not lying. And you're wearing it underneath your shirt. Like a money belt in Europe. So nobody knows what you're actually wearing / hiding.
Perfect.
A fanny pack under that goes across your chest underneath your jacket. So everyone thinks you're wearing a bomb to the airport.
God.
All right. Ooh. Sorry.
You're
about that.
Ill.
I don't know where that came from. It's impossible.
You're dying.
No way.
You're going green.
Gangrene. All right. Let's answer another question.
Yeah.
I have a parking problem that I need help with, writes, I don't know, Parker Posey. Last week, I offered to drive me and my friends to a dinner because I didn't feel like drinking that night, so we took my car instead of an Uber. Mm. I parked at a lot, which we thought was free on the weekends, went to have dinner to celebrate my friend's B-Day, came back, and there was a $50 parking ticket on my car.
Ouch.
I was bummed about it and said how that sucks, and my friend said, hey, it's not, at least it's not that expensive. Well, $50 is $50. I was hoping they would offer to pay a portion of it since I did do them a favor and drove us, but then they said nothing. I wanted to bring it up, but since it's my friend's birthday, I didn't actually want to put a damper on the night. What do you think I should do? Should I reach out and get them to pay me for a bit for my ticket? I feel like a dick, but if my friend drove me somewhere and we got a ticket, I feel like I would offer to pay a portion of it.
Yeah. Was it just one friend and it was their birthday?
I don't think it was the birthday friend. I imagine he was going with a friend to meet.
Okay, to
else.
Like a birthday party. So he's like, you're going to a birthday party, you drive a friend, you get a ticket.
The friend is saving cash on the Uber.
Yeah, I've been in the situation where like I was with a group of like 12 people and we all drove to Catterskill Falls in upstate New York. Bunch of people went swimming and stuff. One car got a ticket, and that ticket was added as a group expense for all 12 people. Even the car that had nothing to do with it. It's one thing if you're like in the car, it's like, oh, can we park here? I'm not sure. Let's, you know, whatever. But it's like that car actually split that with everybody, almost like it's gas. Like, this is the cost of doing business. And I guess I'm still thinking about it. I disagreed with it in principle, but it is fine. Here's what I would say. I think you're perfectly, definitely in this situation. Now, my situation was different a little bit. In this situation, very normal to ask for money. You made a collective decision to stay in the lot, and you got the ticket. I think that should be split. Here's the thing, though.
Oh,
am I boring you?
A little bit. Actually, yeah. I mean, this is really long-winded.
You yawned.
Yeah, I was bored.
Do I have your attention? Yep. Okay.
Barely. I'm trying to drifting away, and so I have to focus it back on you. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Actually, let's take a break.
I feel like, I thought I was going to be like, am I boring you? And you were going to say no and Paul.
No, it was really boring. Like, yeah, it was really boring.
Right. Because I was kind of talking about just like tickets and parking.
I'm going to put my headphones off and just sort of daydream, I think, about something fun. Like bowling a 250 tickets or some shit.
That's cool. I'll keep on talking in that case. Amir's headphones are off. I think you can ask for the money. I think you can say, I deserve some money, and your friend will give it to you, but they will talk about this. They will ask, they will be annoyed, I think. But that's fine, because I think you're in the right.
Well, would you offer to pay if somebody did this to you?
Yes. But I would offer to pay.
I think it matters about like the conversation that was had. Like, is it the friend like, oh, you can park here? Or is the friend like, I wouldn't park here, they might give you a ticket? Or was it just like not addressed and like the friend was on his phone and then you parked there and then you got a ticket? I think at that point I'd be like, oh, that sucks that you chose to park there, friend. But like, it wasn't my idea. I wouldn't suggest that. Also, like, that sign says no parking and now I have to pay for that transgression. I feel like I wouldn't necessarily offer to pay unless it was a group decision or my idea that like caused that thing to happen. Kind of like if you get into an accident, I'm not paying for any of the damages because I didn't do that.
Yeah, I think it depends. It depends on what the parking situation was like. Did you guys debate it or did you just pull in like you thought you could park there and then you got a ticket? I think if the parking was difficult and it was discussed and agreed on the spot.
Yeah, like we need to park. It's risky, but you know what? If there's a ticket, I'll split it with you. Obviously, that didn't happen, but that's like
I've been in situations egregious. where people agree to split a ticket even before. It's like, I'm not sure we can park here, but if we get a ticket, I will split it.
Yes, exactly.
I think there's a way that you can do this without it being that aggressive, which is just request it on Venmo.
Wow. That's pretty passive aggressive, I would say.
Yeah.
What? Right. What is this? Oh, I parked in that the lot, and there was a parking ticket, so I figured we'd go Dutch.
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
You explained that in the note. There. I feel like I wouldn't ask, but it would be nice to get that, like, the offer.
Yeah. Basically, I guess I think your friend should have offered. It is what I would have done. But having had him not offer, requesting, while it's fine, it's just going to feel weird. There's not a world where it doesn't feel a little weird.
Yeah. And it's not fortune. And there's also like money at play. If your friend is super rich and you're struggling, then it would be nice if he chipped in. But if like $50,
sorry,
is not
are you boring
a...
you?
No, that was sort of a burp.
Yeah, right. Sorry. I don't know why I'm like.
Don't
I'm
like
watching you like a hawk.
I feel
right
like
now,
you're like, I feel like ready to pounce on every like time my mouth opens.
Yeah,
that one was not a. That one was
I'm
not
like,
a yawn.
I think I have. It's like other shit that I'm dealing with.
I think
with.
I have FOMO or some shit. I don't even know what's happening or what I'm missing. But I feel like a pull to go somewhere else.
Yes.
Every time you open your mouth, I get sort of offended.
That's right.
Somebody called me boring yesterday, and it's been sort of festering. It's the real, real issue.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Sorry, am I coughing you?
Am I COVID you? Do I go to COVID University?
That's good. .edu.
A lot of variables here. Was there a discussion beforehand? Is there a money imbalance? Is it like he wanted to take an Uber anyway? I could see where there are cases where he wouldn't necessarily ever offer.
Yeah.
But as a default rule, I don't think he owes you that place because you drove, you parked, you chose that place.
Yeah. I do think the right thing to do is offer. I think the right thing to do is offer, but you can't really control your friend doing the right thing or not.
It's definitely nice to offer.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll go out to dinner with a friend and I'll be like, oh shit, I don't have my wallet. When I do, I obviously do. And yeah, he's like, okay, I'll just pay and you can Venmo me.
Yeah.
We did this. Sure. Yeah. Let's. I'll Venmo you later.
Last time I came into LA, this is exactly what happened. So you did have your wallet?
Of course, yeah, I had my wallet and I said I would Venmo you, but it's like annoying to, for you to like constantly follow up. And it's like at a certain point, you feel like the dickling where you're like, you still haven't Venmoed me. You still haven't Venmoed me. And I'm not going to Venmo you. Yeah. I'm not going to do that.
So, and that's what you, if you go into that type of situation, the thing that you can do is you keep a running tally in your head start siphoning money off. Like Amir and I have a shared bank account and I'm able to siphon funds back. Unbeknownst to you, I'll write myself a check for office expenses, but I'll pad that a little bit.
I thought you bought a chair.
Yeah, there are car payments, but I say, oh, you know what? Actually, this month the payment was, you know, $300 more. And then
is that Jill's car? Like, what is
climbing?
The,
yeah, exactly. Are you open? Don't open the, eyes here. Let's not open $900 the new tabs. And, okay. Yes.
And what is this one? You're a member of five gyms because you don't necessarily, don't you just go to one gym or you want access to all?
Well, I need access to one in every borough just in case I ever travel to Staten Island or the Bronx.
A local Staten Island fitness. There's no way. $101 a month. So this is for the lunch that I took for you.
Yeah.
That was $17. I'll bring you to financial ruin. We can't afford taxes now. We're going to go to debtor's prison for you. All right, let us know what happened here. But I would assume he's not going to offer, and it's kind of weird to bring it up, unfortunately. That's the risk you take when you... Like, what if he got a speeding ticket? Are you splitting the speeding ticket?
No, not the speeding ticket. That's a
driver's
decision.
Where do we draw the lines? The parking is a driver's decision.
It depends, I think.
It's like if I told you to park there and there's a ticket, that's different than I'm not paying attention at all and you choose to park there.
You pay somebody for some gas, you know, that's fine. If it were a parking lot, let's think about that.
Yeah.
If it costs $10 to park there, obviously that's a split.
There are expenses
incurred while driving somewhere. This one is it's haphazard for sure. I don't know. I really don't know. I think we need more context.
D, not enough information.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Thanks some spons. Come back, answer some more cues after this.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, Jake, we're back. One last question to rule them all.
Yes, please. Let's go.
What do we think? Here's one about the gym.
Okay. I like the gym.
We'll call this guy Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good.
He loves the gym. There's a woman at the gym whom I've crushed on for years now, and I noticed her for the first time during the pandemic, and she's only gotten cuter once the masks came off. Mm. Call me a gentleman or a coward, but I know better than to approach a woman at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this week, I saw her car in the parking lot and thought maybe I could initiate a conversation by parking next to her. Then I decided this was stupid and hurriedly backed out, but I scraped her bumper of her car. God. I've been to the gym a couple times since she's there, and her car is still there. The scratch is still there. So my question is, can I use this as an excuse to strike up a conversation? Or do I just leave a note on her car hoping she hasn't seen the scratch yet? What should I do? Much love.
Use this as an excuse? You have to. You have a responsibility to...
Well, if he's a little coy and shy, he can maybe turn this into a hit-and-run situation.
It sounds like you already did. You did a hit and hide. And you...
I like how you parked next door. He's like, this is dumb. Let me get out of here. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. She's in the fucking car.
It's like an episode of Lonely and Horny. It's so funny.
Just backing up over and over. Until
shit. Airbag deploys. Hits a fire hydrant, flooding his car.
Oh. Can I get your number?
Or at least that of your insurance.
Or are you one of those lesbian types? Airbag goes off, burns my face.
I mean, that's the Lonely and Horny cold open right there. It's perfect. God.
It writes itself. Someone
give me cash to make another season.
It can't be that much.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I think scratching and talking, not that you should have scratched her car to talk to her, but is a very obvious way to talk to somebody, and you owe her an explanation anyway.
Yeah. This really could have been a meet cute, but at this stage, it's kind of a confession cute, which isn't quite as cute. I think you have to say something. And I don't think you can get away with a note. It's been days, right? It's been several days.
In a ways. Yes, it's been days.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, I don't even know how you can get out of it. I think you can be like, hey, I bumped your car and I just noticed
that was
you.
I saw
it again in the parking lot. And
yeah, I've been talking to the surveillance people here. We found your number.
I'm making a citizen's arrest.
Whoa. Take me to dinner first.
300. Oh.
Jesus. I was just trying to do a meet cute is all.
Yeah. I think you can just approach her and say that you didn't know who the car belonged to, but then you just saw her get out of the car today or whatever.
Have you ever approached someone at a gym? It is a very difficult place because, you know, everybody's sort of hot, too hot to trot, and I bet ladies get hit on all the time, and they're all like, you know, you're wearing music, you're wearing headphones, you're not necessarily there to meet anybody.
Yeah, I've met people at the climbing gym, which feels like a bit more of a social activity because there's kind of like rest in between, people work on the same things.
Yeah, it's communal.
You can chat, people give you some beta, that's kind of nice. People clap for you when you do well. So I've met people and I've talked to people at the climbing gym. I don't think I've ever just talked to someone at the actual gym except to be like, are you done with this or whatever.
I had a similar situation, not necessarily hitting on someone, but I saw an old Laker basketball player at a gym once in a 24-hour fitness in Glendale, and it was Robert Horry, and he's 6'10" and, you know, awesome and one of my heroes. He actually played with Rick Fox, so I was like, oh, maybe I could say, I work with Rick Fox. He played with Rick Fox. But I was, too scared to, approach him. And, you know, other people are approaching him. This is stupid. I don't want to say anything. And then I was working out, and he came up to me and was like, are you still, using this machine? And I was, listening to a podcast. I'm like, what? Huh?
Barbell falls on your neck.
Like, oh, yeah, no, you got that. Even if I was still using it, I'm like, yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, big man.
Did you say that to him?
No, I was just like, yeah, no, it's yours. Huh? It's fine. Yeah, no, totally. Oh, thank you. Namaste.
Backing up over a kettlebell.
Can you come with me to Sunday basketball? I want to show up with you, sir, sort of as a ringer. I'll say my friend Robert's coming, and then it's just, well, you.
Yeah, my God.
So that's as close as I've gotten to unsuccessfully. I should have really, I should have hit backed my car into his car. That's what I should have done. Sort of struck up a conversation with Big Shot himself. But unfortunately, I didn't know which Tesla was.
You had the Rick
his.
Fox in. Yeah, jeez.
The Rick Fox would have been a solid in. Should have used
it. Oh, you know my friend Rick Fox.
I hate Rick Fox. He would never say that. They're best friends.
He throws you.
All right. Let us know how the note goes, the hit and run apology. You really owe her an apology / explanation / insurance information trade. You need more than her number. You need her insurance provider.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's beyond. It's nice that you'll get to talk to your crush, but you actually do need to fix her car. So that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. The responsibility kind of transcends the I'm nervous to approach you.
Can I get you a drink or an estimate of the damages? Please don't take it to the dealership.
That body shop is really expensive.
I can actually probably get this out with a little whiteout. Oh, I'm sorry. The entire bumper collapses. Shit my ass for that. Shit my ass. All right. Thank you. Thank you for writing in. If you have your own questions, your own theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
That's right.
And we're still making videos on our Patreon. Patreon.com/JAWatchin. Jake and Amir videos. Commenting. Mm-hmm. Remembering. Mm-hmm. Remindering. Mm-hmm. Enjoying. Yep. Or hating, depending on the episode. Yeah.
And there's a couple new Jake and Amir's out there if you still haven't seen them. Those are on our YouTube channel.
Boy. And this one's also being recorded. This podcast is being recorded and uploaded as a video as well. So plenty of content to go around.
Look at that.
So thank you guys all for watching, listening, supporting in any way, shape, or form. And of course, we'll be back next week. Let's hear that GOAT theme song. We usually leave early, but I want to hear this. I want to hear this. This unironic pop punk cover by Garrett, The Other Side of Hard. Ready? 3, 2, 1, fired up.
So is my heart, but it'll be okay on the other side of hard. I can't park my car, and I can't play my guitar, but it'll be okay on the other side of hard.
Incredible.
Epic.
Absolutely awesome.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.